Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Kate picks you up in the
I guess you can hear me well. So, hello out there. It's really cold outside right now. Little snee. It's like over here on the res, it's 11 below zero without wind chill. and the Washichu time, they're calling this Happy New Year. And we're in the middle of some cold, you know. I don't feel like we're in the beginning of nothing. I think we're in the middle of something. So, it's, you know, when I guess when your mind's made that way, you feel like, wow, it's the beginning of the year and the end of last year. But when you live like we do, you know, it ain't in the beginning of nothing. That's in the middle of something. And in Lakota, we always consider Sundance time the beginning of our year. So anyway, what I'm going to do is let Bimber lead us off for this first show of what they call this year. Toshi.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Wana. Wana.
Yeah. Wana.
Ahu. Payat trunka shlata wa khan trunka. Et en fait, toi, que Elohim, j'ai pas comme au pire à trunka yon que n'y a pas trunka shla. Mais là, c'est qu'il y a chose en ikta a hoi chi cha pelot trunka shla. Mais là, c'est qu'il y a tout à que et quand tu l'as été trunka shla, t'as qu'il y a eu un trunka shla. Où y a qui a acheté un trunka shla et un on se passe dit tu que t'es trunka shla. Et toi, au cas trunka shla, tu que t'es que t'es. Au cas qui j'y a pas, c'est qu'il y a un trunka shla. Et moi, on a une chose à l'évoque, je suis à l'église, je suis à côté de la troncache. Ni la ou, je suis à l'eau, je suis à la troncache. Mais on est en écran, on est à qui tu es, à qui, l'extra, tu es à l'eau, on est 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 à l'eau, on
est à l'eau,
you think we're at the beginning of something or in the middle of something?
Shit, it's always we're in the middle of something. Whenever, I don't know about this Washichu New Year stuff, you know what I mean? To me, it's just a way of these Washichus making big money, you know?
Yeah.
Big company.
Party time.
Yeah, party time, you know?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's party time, man. And I'm trying to get over my hangover right now. Sorry. No, I'm just jiving, you know.
Yeah, that's what, but, you know, it's a big money maker. Think about it, you know. It's all,
yeah,
it is just to get the people fooling, you know. What is a New Year, you know? What is a, you know, Lakotas call it Omakatshecha, you know. But that's a totally different, you know, meaning. You know, they, in other words, it's Omaka, you know, a young, kind of like a refreshing of the earth is what that means, you know?
Well,
and that's, you know, so there's a big difference between a new year and a refreshing of the earth, see? And then that's basically, if you look at the Lakota way, you know, the star knowledge and stuff, the way they live, you know, they have a summer, you know, what is it, solstice. And then winter equinox. So you think about that. When it gets further south and it's starting to come back, that's when you start preparing for everything for the year. Get everything ready, you know. So that, to me, that kind of like represents our new year, you know, because of the you know, you're coming out of something and you're going into another thing, you know. So that's, you know, like we call ours at Sundance, it's a new year because of, you know, all our commitments are done, you know. We're square at the house and, you know, by the time we get there, shit, we're in credit up to our neck, you know, and to the Trunkashalas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we finish it, and then we feel pretty good after that. You know, so like the New Year's to us, that's where it is, you know that. But long ago, if you look at it, they went by this equinox and this solstice.
You know, what I was thinking about was remember that everybody used to talk about the Aztec calendar, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I never paid much attention to it, but, you know, as you get older, you start thinking about, I was wondering about that Aztec calendar. What day would this day be on the Aztec calendar, you know? I know it ain't New Year's on the Aztec calendar.
Yeah.
You know, if they say it's New Year's on the Aztec calendar, then that makes that Aztec calendar just some made-up baloney, you know?
Yeah.
But if the Aztec calendar was a real thing, you know, then this day ain't no beginning of a year, you know, because we didn't have Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, all these, what are they, Greek names or Roman names or something?
Yeah.
And same way with the months and all that, you know, people had different.
Confused.
Yeah. They just spun it all around. Spun it around, and we had to go their way for some reason, you know. But I always look at it as intelligence, as you know, intelligent species. What we call, you know, the Washitu are, they call themselves Americans right now. They're lacking in brain development. That's why once you learn English, you can't learn nothing else, because it's a language that makes you forget everything else. And the only people that can, they speak English. It's hard for a Washitu to speak two languages. He can only speak English, you know?
Yeah.
That's it. And that's why they say, speak English, you're in America, you know? English, that's how stupid they are. Speak English, you're in America. English is from England, you know? But they say, speak English, you're in America. That shows their brain development right there, you know?
You know, Clancy, think about this. English, in England, they speak a different way. Americans over here, they bastardized that. And they made this so-called English. So what is English, you know? That belongs to the Englanders. What is American? See, they steal everything. And that's a problem with these Washitus, you know? They steal everything. Like I said, humans. They even steal humans. That's why we call them Washitu, slave stealers.
Yep.
Not good, you know, it tells you how they think. So what is English? It's a bastard language, you know?
Yep.
It's nothing else but that, you know?
And you know, English speakers and Americans, like the way they brainwashed the Lakota, that's why you hear these Lakota saying, oh, no, Washitu, that means fat takers, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I argued with some people about that, you know? And because, you know, when you say Washi means, you know, like fat.
Yeah.
But Washi, we don't say, we don't say Washitu, you know?
Yeah, Washitu.
Yeah. Yeah.
Washi is when you're told to do something.
Yep.
Washi.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, and how I like the fat off of meat, so they could call me Washitu too. You know?
Yeah, me sure. You know.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
I like that Washi, you know. And I see people cutting it off their meat sometimes. They pass that stuff over here, you know. And,
heck yeah.
But But, you know, that's why they have a new wave, Indian, you know, new wavers, the ones that think we came from China, like this guy was on the Facebook last week. Remember, we were talking about it, thank the Chinese for bringing domesticated horse over here. You know, I mean, we got those Indians. Then we got the ones that think about the treaty and stuff like that. When that treaty, you know, they're in our house. Why are we making treaties with them? And why should we be proud we made a treaty with them? How with that? I'm glad my people that I know didn't sign no treaties, you know. Not into that. Because this is our country. They can't, when someone comes in your house, invades your house, and takes over on your house, and then you make a treaty with them so you can still use a bathroom or share the kitchen, you know, or you know, that's what I feel like about this. So I'm not into all that treaty shit, you know, seriously. I mean, people can attack me or say what they want, but that's how I feel about it. And that's common sense, because even my older relatives felt crazy about treaty, you know? Why should you be proud that your grandpa signed a treaty, you know? Why should you be proud that Red Cow did this or they did that, you know? I'm proud of what Crazy Horse and Sitting Bull and all them did, you know? And then the ones before them, you know? Like I said, this is, to the Washichu, this is 2022. That makes this year 530 years since the invasive species showed up, you know? And that's what it means to me. 530 years ago, we didn't even know a peckerwood existed. We didn't have no alcohol, drugs. We weren't, you know? There wasn't a drunk Indian on earth, you know? And that's only 530 years ago. And you count that back in our way, you know, to me, that's like five grandpas ago, you know?
Yeah.
Only five grandpas ago. Because my grandma was born and our grandmas and grandpas, you know, I'm talking about me and you and Larry, they were born in 1800s, you know? And when were their grandmas and grandpas born, you know? You go back only five times from there, and that's before Columbus came, you know? So, and just like they say, we only came here 10,000 years ago. You know, if you want to believe that, that's only 1,000 grandpas ago. And 1,000 grandpas ago, how do you change from Chinese to Lakota and forget Chinese or Mongolian or whatever, you know? If we came 10,000 years ago, we'd still have some Chinese words in our language or Mongolian words or wherever, you know, but we don't. Our language don't have no influence from nothing else, you know? And
it's an old language on its own, you know? That's why this Hunka, they call it, you know, that one word. It goes back to the beginning of time. That's what that means.
When you go to Europe and travel in other countries and hear languages, all them languages have similarities because they all, for thousands of years, they mingled, crisscrossed and all that. Like in Russian, for night, you say noche, just like in Spanish, noche, you know? And you know, in German, you say guten for good, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, all the languages over there crisscross with each other. Every culture over there has words that come from somebody else or they use from somebody else, And the Wasatch, you don't even know where the hell his language came from. You know, English.
Yeah.
English probably is because some guy didn't know how to speak German good. You know,
yeah.
Like we call Germans, Wasatch, remember? Like, you know, bad talkers, you know, because we thought they sounded bad when they talk because they use guttural and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know? But English is probably because somebody didn't know how to pronounce some words, so they made their own language, you know. You know,
well, you know, like I said, it's England, see? There had to be kind of it had to come from England. Then they started twisting it around and created their own language away from England, see? So that's how English came about. And the England people, they still speak their, whatever it is, it's English, the original English. These guys made up their own language. That's why they're, you know, they make words for everything every day. They take some out and they put some in, you know, every day. It's not like when they take it, they take something out, they forget that word. See, it's not using, but yet somewhere down the line, somebody still uses it. See, and that's this English dictionary, so-called Wasatch way of speaking. See, and they probably don't even have that in England. But they call it English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that cracks me up when they say, speak English. You're in America. Speak English. You know? That shows how stupid those people are. You know? I mean, it cracks me up. They say that.
You know,
you know?
The thing about it is, the Dane in England, why should people speak English? Dane in England? This is Indian territory, Lakota territory, you know? So they should be speaking Lakota, not that bastard English.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're funny people. And their brain development is, you know, their lack of their logic is way off, you know? It's like, remember they found that Maxwell Giswell or whatever her name was guilty for that Epstein sex.
Yeah.
And that guy hung himself in jail, they say. But it was really strange. Mm-hmm. He suddenly hung himself when in his case there was the Prince Andrew or whatever his name is was involved in that. Bill Clinton. All these famous people were involved in that, you know?
Yeah.
And suddenly he gets busted.
Yeah.
And he's a connection to all these people. There's even flight records with Clinton and all them on it, you know? I mean, this guy could have took down everybody, and they say hung himself, you know? I mean, he might have even walked if he lived. He had so many people to drag down with him. They might have figured out a way to drop charges on him, you know, if he lived. And he kind of, I think he knew that. But yet they say hung himself. And then when they check the guards, the cops, you know,
recording.
They weren't, they like disappeared or stuff like that during this time and nobody knew what happened. They even, the cops even changed the records and all that and all that. So they couldn't cover up on it. Yeah, they couldn't cover up on it. So what they did was they were charging these cops. Well, just because they found this woman guilty on that, right away, they dropped the charges on these cops. You see, that's how their logic is. Their logic is, oh, we found her guilty, so now we can say these cops are innocent, you know?
Yeah.
And because these cops were the clue that guy might not have killed himself.
Yeah.
There was more evidence, strange things going on there. During the time they say he killed himself, you know. So now that's how they walk away clean, you know. They got rid of that dude, you know. And people would call that conspiracy theory or whatever, but, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they right away they'll probably say, those Indians, they don't know what they're talking about, you know. But, you know, but we got common sense. We got common sense.
You know, they're evil people. Look at, they say that there's no recording during that time he hung himself. But yet, there's all these recordings 24/7 on all the other times. How could that happen? You know, that's why those cops got charged, because they couldn't find no recordings leading up to the guy hanging himself. How's that possible?
Yeah.
And then this guy, this Epstein, shit, he had, that's how he made his killing, was he used blackmail, or more or less, I got this on you, you know? And that's how he made big name for himself, see? Because he's got, even the Bushes were involved in that. See, everybody, all these politicians were all involved in that. These big, big name politicians. And I think, you know,
they were all going to that. They were all going to that island. They were all going to that island for how they call it Rape Island.
Yeah. Yep. Jesus Christ. Well, but you know, that's what those, they gave it a good name, you know, it's what it was.
Rape Island.
Then the woman, you know, she's appealing it because I don't know what happened, but one of those witnesses, I don't know, did something, so they're going to appeal it or that shit, I don't know. You know, damn good enough. She's got some of that dirt, you know, she's going to walk.
They would have that Prince Andrew, that Queen Elizabeth's son, they would have him standing there posing with a 14-year-old, you know. You know, they got all of them. They got, and I know Bill Clinton was, you know, that curve to the right, or curve to the left, whatever they call them. You know,
remember he never had sex with any of those women.
Yeah, but they said he was curved to the right. You know,
yeah.
They even had the doctors come in and identify and describe why the scientific reason why his pecker curved to the right, you know.
Yeah.
They even had that on there, you know.
Yeah.
Curved to the right, you know. When they said he was curved to the right, Hillary Clinton was looked at him and said, yep, they got him.
Yeah. She was nodding her head, sitting in the car.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, he's guilty. He said, I did not have sex with that girl, you know. And they had him described down to the fork in his veins, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
I think the woman might have some dirt on these guys, you know, some people. Because look at, right away, they're talking about appeals and shit, you know what I mean? Oh, she's having an appeal now, all this, you know. She might have some dirt on some people, you know, she does, you know, that's her walking papers. You know, that's just the way teachers work, you know. The more evil you are, the more likely you're going to walk.
Yeah.
That's Washington logic.
You know what? They had to get somebody, so they got this woman. I forgot her name. Giswell something. You know. I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, she was like a scapegoat for them, because she was Epstein's right hand. Right-hand man, you know.
Permanent sex partner.
Yeah.
You know, she's the one that did all the stuff for Epstein, along with Epstein. See? You know,
yeah, well, you know.
She might have something, you know. She exposed it that now she'd be in good shape.
Yeah, she might as well let it all go since they convicted her, you know.
Yeah,
she might as
yeah.
well let it all go, you know. Like, they still got, they said Prince Andrew accuser seeks evidence, you know.
Yeah.
So he's sweating them, but he's a prince and they got millions of dollars, but you know, they're throwing down on him. He's got big time lawyers. And then he's even coming down. He's got his lawyers to prove that he don't sweat, you know? I guess he said, this girl said he was sweating all over her. And so he got lawyers and medical professionals who say he has a sweating problem. He can't sweat. Remember on them Washichus? You ever check them Washichus out? When they lift up their arms, the under part of their arms are always soaking wet.
You know damn good and well that they try to. That's the thing. These Washichus like that, they cover for each other. You know what I mean? They lie. That's one of the biggest things that, you know, that they do is oakunkla. You know, they lie. They really lie. They that's their how would you call it? That's the way of life. Look at, like you was talking about, these treaties and stuff. Have they ever kept one of those promises? You know?
No.
All of it, everything. And that's why these other countries don't want to make treaties with America, because that's their main thing, is they like to lie, you know. So that's,
and,
you know,
and
that's,
like
that's,
Putin
that's
said,
logic.
Putin said, how can you make a deal with a country that changes their rules every 4 years, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody gets mad at Putin because he's been there for I don't know how many years, you know, but it's good that these Americans change every 4 years. They're so, you know, they're so full of crap, you know, that one of them lasted longer than too long in there. They would have had a nuke war already, you know. They have to get rid of them because they say, look how stupid this guy is, you know, and people they got their finger on that red button, and then, so they yank him off there, and they put another one, he's ready to put his finger on that red button, you know, and even Obama, you know, people, I see Indians saying, give us an amen, for those who think Obama is the greatest president. What do an Indian know about who's the greatest president? You know? What do an Indian know? But Indians on Facebook are saying, give me a big amen, Obama and Michelle Obama. And they like really liked him, you know? But Obama was dropping bombs in Pakistan. Obama was bombing Pakistan with drones, you know, without the war doctrine, you know?
You know,
as wicked as the rest of them, you know.
Obama was watering down Indians in the wintertime up in North Dakota, you know.
Yeah.
That's why do these people want to say whatever the hell it is, oh, he's the greatest, whatever bullshit, you know. You know, think about that. He was spraying down kids, old ladies, grandfathers up in North Dakota with ice water during the wintertime. You know, that was Obama. That was, you know. So you can't tell me he's a greatest president. Bullshit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of those presidents ever is a friend of the Indian, you know. Not one.
You know.
Just about as Lincoln.
Yeah. You know, it's just something that gets me that Indians get involved in American stuff. You know, it's like they all joined the Boy Scouts or something, you know. you know, and when you keep your mind to the logic, that traditional logic, if you keep your mind that way, then they say you're a troublemaker. You know, like if they listen to us talking right now, they say we're racist. They say we're troublemakers. We don't know what we're talking about and all that. But, you know, our people are the only ones that knew that oil would destroy that water.
Yep.
And they've been saying that from the get-go. You know, the American Indian Movement was bringing this up 50 years ago. But then those other tribes, when they asked other tribes, you know, about it, they didn't want to get involved back in them days, even those Canadians and other tribes. They didn't want to support this environmental fight that our people had years ago. They didn't want to support it. And then finally, when it started hitting home to them 10, 15 years ago, then they started that I don't know more baloney, you know? They call I don't know more. What kind of word is that? I don't know more, you know? In other words, we're not going to sit idle no more. Okay. But these same ones that started that were the ones laughing at the American Indian Movement 50 years ago. When Lakotas and people were saying, well, look what they're doing to our environment and all that, you know? And they were, our people were smart then. when the Americans took over Diego Garcia, that island down in the Indian Ocean, they kicked them natives off an island and made the biggest military base there, you know?
Yeah.
AIM and them knew all that was wicked, but nobody else said nothing, you know? So, I mean, I hate to say this because then once again I'm sounding like some prejudiced Lakota, you know, that because these other tribes just went along with everything they did. And then when they woke up, they said, oh, I'm not going to sit idle no more. Too late. Too late for that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
At Little Bighorn, all them tribes should have been with our people. And Wounded Knee wouldn't have happened. Sand Creek wouldn't have happened. You know?
Yep.
There's a lot of things that happened to our people because the other tribes joined in with the American way back then. You know?
Yep.
Way back then they joined in.
Mm-hmm. Now they're paying a big price for it, and now they want to say idle no more. That's, you know, why didn't they say that way back then? You know? It doesn't make sense. You know, why? What is this idle no more? Sound like there's a car stuck or something. You know what I mean?
Sound like your car broke down and don't idle, you know?
Yeah, you know that. But, you know, you think about it, shit, that's, you know, how many years have we been telling them, you know? And how many of these people really listened? Not one of them.
When they were having those gold rushes back in 1800s, our people were saying, now look what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, just for some gold. They're destroying our land just for some gold. You know? And then when they started cutting trees, pretty soon they cut with the axe. Next thing they started making equipment. Then next thing they started tearing down forests. You know, and they're still doing that, you know. They even got those documentaries of people cutting down the forest, but they're like heroes because that wood they use for houses and homes and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And these vegetarians, oh, I don't eat meat, you know, and because it's killing the animals and all, but yet they're living in wooden houses and everything else that destroyed our, you know, destroying, taking everything.
Yeah, that's that mitake yasin that we talk about, see? The Washitu, like all these protesters or these vegans or whatever you call them, these people that don't eat red meat, you know, they're killing all this green stuff too. What are they doing about it, you know? Not a damn thing, you know? So it doesn't make sense to me, you know? That why are you saying, oh, this is bad and that's good, you know?
You know, they're tearing down islands. They're tearing up islands and lands with coconuts and all kinds of fruit trees and all in the tropics to plant that oil, those trees that make oil, you know?
Yeah.
I forget what they call it.
You know, the thing about it is to look at how much islanders, like even at Avon, when they were testing that, they moved a whole tribe of people off these islands to test those bombs. You know, and those people got to home now because of that. And they still, the government still hasn't done nothing for them.
And no, then they moved some of them back on the island so they can research how the radioactive does to them, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Long, you know, studies for years. Let's see what happens. Shit, you know, they know what goes on. They know what's happening, but yet they want to. The Washington's evil, man. You know, really evil. Because they know what's going to happen. They know what's happening, but yet they put it out there, you know. And then they lie to these people that they put there, see. You know, they're not honest. They're not honest at all, you know. Not one bit honest.
Well, there are lots of the environment is really a problem right now, you know? And they're the ones destroying the environment. And then they got these other groups, you know, those ones Save the Whales and Greenpeace and all these ones that act like they care about the environment. But they're just professional fundraisers. They're professional fundraisers to have big ships to go out in the ocean, you know, and and stuff like that. But all these people, they're not with us when we're right there telling them what they're doing wrong, when they're putting these oil pipes under the water. How stupid is that? You know, like that oil break in the out there by Long Beach. They said they had just pipes laying on top of the ground, not even buried in the ocean. And then some tanker came by with this anchor dragging, and that's how that broke. So they had to pin it on somebody. You know, it's kind of you know, they just laid those pipes under the ocean. Then they said they were kind of rusty or whatever, you know. They got that kind of stuff all across under the water. They put them there. And they dump their trash in the ocean. They go out in the ocean. Remember they were trying to, they dropped some nuclear waste in the ocean, you know. They don't care about the environment. They don't care about the water. You know, they don't care about the chair they're sitting on. You know, they saw the leg off their own chairs. They don't care about their mother or their grandma. They damn sure don't care about their kids. Their kids, these same ones doing all this stuff, have big fancy homes, and their kids got big fancy swing sets, big fancy swimming pools, you know, but they don't care what's going to happen to them kids in 50 years or 100 years, you know? And our people been telling them that all this time. And when the American Indian movement got together and started, you know, all these tribes joined in, and hippies jumped in with them, of course, you know, and all this. Then they, you know, and started telling them about the environment and all that. Nobody wanted, the tribal people didn't want to jump in and help. The only ones that were doing it was ones they call radicals and stuff like that. They didn't call them activists back in them days. They had a bad name for them, you know, troublemakers.
Militant.
Yeah.
Considered
so,
militant.
Yeah, militant. Yeah, that's what they were, militants. And all, if you care about the earth and care about the water and the air we breathe and all that, then you're a militant, you know?
Yeah.
And nobody wants to support this stuff. Nobody realizes it till it's too late. And when it's too late, you know, and just like now, people are saying, oh, they're violating our treaties. Well, why'd you ever make a treaty with them from the get-go? Well, I wasn't there when all this stuff happened. You know, I wasn't there. But my logic is, who the hell would make a treaty with somebody on your own land? You know? What they did was force these Indians into that and lied to them to think that, you know, and starved them. They starved a small percentage of people and made those small percentage of people that and made them represent the bigger society of Indians, natives, Lakotas. When they signed those treaties, Crazy Horse and all them weren't there. They were still fighting. Little Bighorn happened in 1776. Those treaties happened in 1868 and 1850 or something like that, you know.
1851.
Yeah, 1851 and 1868. Well, Crazy Horse and them weren't in on that. There was only a small percentage of Indians that got involved in that because they were starving them and all that, and they made these Indians sign treaties with the government. And then once they did that, the government could say, you're violating our treaties. You're violating the treaty. You're over here fighting. Crazy Horse and them are fighting. Once this small group of Indians signed treaties, that made Crazy Horse and the rest of the Indians become outlaws. You know? And renegades, you know? And that's why I don't even agree with all that treaty baloney, you know? But there's Indians out there that do, you know?
You know, my grandfather didn't sign nothing, and he died a prisoner of war, you know? That should tell you something about those Indians that didn't believe in that, see? They wanted nothing to do with these guys signing treaties, you know, because they were liars. They knew that. That's why they say don't ever trust a white man, see?
That's why when two people go to trial, two guys get busted for the same thing, and they go to trial and one of them pleads guilty, right away the one that wants to fight his case, he lost it, you know?
Yeah.
He lost it because one of them broke down, you know?
Yeah.
You can't fight nothing when you make a deal with the Washitu. You can't win when you make a deal with them. And even if they find you guilty, at least you can walk with some satisfaction inside of you that you did the best you can, you know? You did the best you can. And with that, you can have freedom in your heart, you know?
You know, you did the right thing.
Yeah. You know, yeah, but, you know, like, to me, when they signed those treaties, that's what they did, was they pled guilty, you know, with the explanation, Your Honor, you know. And I don't agree with that stuff, you know, but you know, like I said, if you start talking like that, there's Indians out there will fight you over that.
Well, it's still like that. Look at all these guys that got casinos now, you know. If you were to say something, oh, no, you know, because they're getting money. You know, they don't think what we're doing is right, you know.
It's like my brother was talking about per capita. Remember Larry was talking about per capita?
Oh, yeah.
You know, for some reason, Lakota, we don't get nothing. Our tribe,
you don't get nothing.
we don't, our little old casino, Rosebud and Perry Wentz, man, what, how, you know, they don't get nothing.
Tribal council controls that.
Yeah.
You got to be a councilman before you get in, you can get in on that money, you know. And that's crooked as hell because they believe in the Washita.
Yeah, and other tribes, man, they're making big millions, and they're those Indians are running around with turquoise on, beautiful braids, you know, but they're wearing a beautiful braids and wearing suits and jumping in a Rolls Royce and driving up. You know,
you're driving mobile homes to you know, Sturgis and all these rallies and stuff, you know, renting those bikes. They don't buy them, they rent them.
Yeah.
You know? And they got these big old mobile homes that look like gymnasiums on wheels, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, that's you know, they don't give a shit about us because they turned totally Washita, and Washita loves that because they control them, you know. And that's the way it is. They control that money. See, Muzuska.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and as long as they keep giving these Indians that Muzuska, they're going to do what the Washita tells them to do, or act this way, or act that way. Oh, they're doing this against you. They're going to hurt you. Shit. We're still here. We're still fighting for the land, you know?
Yeah.
Still going to give up, you know? That's why I say when they talk about Obama being such a great president, what the hell did he do for us? He didn't do a goddamn thing for anybody. Excuse the language. He didn't do nothing for Indian people. But he sure as hell sprayed them and with cold water during wintertime, they were freezing and stuff. He sprayed the shit out of grandmas, babies, young kids. I mean, he didn't give a shit, you know? And that's the so-called Obama that I know. I don't know which Obama they're talking about, you know.
Yeah.
That guy's not, he's not a friend of Indian people, as far as I'm concerned. He's full of doo-doo.
No. Yeah. Full of doo-doo, huh? Hey, you heard that one in a long time. You got to be an old mom,
right.
You must have lived close. The first time I ever heard that word, doo-doo was when we moved to the projects in L.A. in the
50s. Doo-doo and cooties.
Yeah, doo-doo and cooties, yeah. Oh, he got cooties, you know.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
God, dude.
Yeah. You know, I opened up lines over here, so, you know. you know, so somebody wants to jump in, you know, you got to, like I said, wait for the right time. Squeeze in at the right breath between me and Bimber. Because it's a real tiny slice of time you can fit in there, you know. And then if you can fit in there, then jump in. But
jump in there, guys.
Don't jump in and leave in a half a word, you know. So anyway,
get right in there.
Yeah, jump right in there. If you don't jump in there, you ain't getting none.
And that's no duty.
Like they said, we was laughing this morning. I don't know if you asked us about M&M's peanuts, you know. M&M's, someone likes M&M's, you know. And
yeah.
I can't eat M&M peanuts because I ain't got no teeth, you know. So,
yeah.
Well, at least make the peanut feel good. Go ahead and eat that M&M peanut, and at least let the peanut feel good, you know, with them gums. Don't be so selfish. Make the peanut feel good, you know. Anyway, like I said, anybody wants to jump in, you can. I'll take a breath. Okay, you missed your shot. We're back. Yeah.
What do you think about the 5-year-old girl? The girl what got killed and died in the arms of her mom in L.A. from the cops.
What happened?
A 14-year-old girl from Ecuador.
She
was shopping. Yeah. What do you think
about
that?
The cops. Yeah, they killed her inside of a dressing room. You know,
mm-hmm.
The cops. Yeah, because the guy was swinging a. He had a bike lock, or he had something inside of a sock and was beating somebody up with it. So the cops came, and they opened up with him with rifle. One cop. Shot right through the wall and killed a 14-year-old girl in the, you know. And it was a black cop that did it. But before he shot him, the other cops knew some. They were telling him, hey, cool down, man, cool down. They were telling him, you know, they were warning him. He must have been giving them signs, you know, he was trigger happy or something. The other cops were telling him, warning him before it happened, you know. And, you know, once again, that's just another example of violence in the Washita world. It don't matter if a black man's doing it. It don't matter if a Mexican's doing it. It don't matter what race of people's doing it. When you do that, you're with the white man. You're not doing that because you have culture, you know. Because, you know, you don't need it. You know, the guy who they... Plus, they killed the guy who had the sock too. I think they shot him. He didn't have a weapon, you know, and they said he was hitting somebody with a lock or something, padlock inside a sock. I don't know, you know, why would he be doing that in a mall, you know, but story is all screwed up. But anyway. More killing by cops, you know, and then what it does is people say, see, it's not racism. That was a black cop that did it. like when that woman got charged for that Tim Potter when she shot that Deontay Wright or whatever his name is in that car. They showed in slow motion when she pulled that trigger, this cop had his head in the car, and the bullet or casing flew out that gun and hit him in the forehead. That was a black cop. You see, and the next, when they showed it, that black cop, just that quick, he was at the back end of the, he hauled ass out of there, you know. He got the hell out the way. She had her hand on that gun before, when she was walking up there. So she knew that was a gun she was holding when she went up there. But she's trying to lie and say, taser baloney, you know. But she had her hand on that gun the whole time. And she pulled that gun out. She reached for a piece of paper, a proof of insurance, and she put that paper in her left hand and grabbed the gun, you know. And that casing hit that cop in the face. But just that quick, that cop was in the back. He must have hauled ass back there, or he jumped that far. Probably could have been in the Olympics. He is just that quick. In the camera, he was at the rear end of that cop car with the fear of God in his face. And the cop on the other side had his whole body in the car trying to grab the gear shifter stuff. When she shot, that big old cop jumped out too. And Deontay Wright, he was hitting the heart. His heart exploded. But somehow he had this, put the car in drive and shot forward. That cop on the right side shut the door of the car when it went forward, you know, and then it crashed into another car. They should have charged them for assaulting that other car too, you know. That guy got kind of crippled from what I understand in that other car. There was two older people in that other car. You see, but there was a black cop with her, and that black cop is the one decided to pull over Deontay Wright, she said, or they said, for having an air freshener hanging off the mirror. You see, and I always tell people about this. When we're driving, when we leave the res, I tell people, hey, you better move that air freshener off the mirror, you know. Why? There's nothing wrong with it. They wouldn't sell it like this if it was against the law. It's bullshit. You know, I got pulled over. They call it obstructing the view. You can't even have a feather or nothing hanging off that mirror. It's an excuse for an asshole cop to pull you over. You see, and that's what happened with this guy. This guy pulled him over, and then they said he had expired tags or registration. Well, you can't see those little numbers from a, you know, that quick. Their real excuse for stopping them was because he's a black guy, and they used the air freshener from his mirror as an excuse. It was a black cop that she was training, just wanted to show her, I'm going to get my own kind here. I'm going to pull this nigga over, you know. That's what he wanted to show off to the white man. And that's what happens when our people work for the Washichu. They get like that. These Indian cops are no better. They're all the same. You know, once they join the white man, they start acting like him. And that's why the United States military is a white military. It don't matter what color the ankles are in them boots. It's still white. You know? You're still helping the white man invade and conquer other races of people. You know? And so I don't see no pride in voting for a white man, getting in their elections. I don't see no pride in joining in with them or nothing.
Never did.
You know, and a lot of us that were in the military, it was just the element of our times. And I'm not trying to be a hypocrite or whatever, you know. But like my dad and all them, all back during World War II and World War I, they let Indians become Americans so they can put them in the military. You know, and World War II, they were yanking Indians out of the boarding schools and sending them off to war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and the Indians that were in those Korean War and World War II, they have a different attitude than these modern Indians that are running around showing off, you know. My dad was quiet about that. He didn't run around with no vet cap on or none of that stuff, you know. I don't know. My father used to work at this company, and one of the guys he worked with was in the Nazi army. His last name was Heinz. I don't know if my brother Larry remembers that, but he had a good friend that was in the Nazi army, you know. And we even went down his house before. So my dad and mom, they weren't racist people, you know. My mom wasn't racist. Didn't have a racist bone in her body, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we were.
Those people, Percy, they, you know, they didn't know what the hell racism was. They didn't care about it. They everybody was equal to them. They were human, you know?
Yeah.
So they didn't understand what these Washitas were doing, that racism. Because then they didn't.
Yeah,
they
my
didn't
mom. My mom was shocked when she started seeing the racism. When she started seeing these white kids in front of our house going, woo, 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 and, you know. And
yeah.
My mom didn't want us to fight. But I remember one time they gang me in front of the house, some white boys. My mom ran out and said, "Get him, son, get him." As soon as she said that, boy, I didn't want her to see me fight. But when she said, "Get him, son," boy, I turned into a little beast, you know. I started whooping some ass out of the street, kicking while she's down the road, you know. You know, because she knew we were fighting. There was racism, and it hurt her.
Yeah.
That they used to, my sister Bonnie, one time at school, at lunchtime, there was some Indian kids, some white kids dancing around her, go, woo, and my sister was trying to eat lunch. And she was all by herself crying because they were dancing around her. And, man, I got mad and ran over there and was going to fight, and I got in trouble. But I never forget that. You know, and even the teachers were racist. I beat up a white kid 5 o'clock in the afternoon after school, a mile away from the school down by the store, and I got in trouble for it, for something I did.
Yeah.
After school down there, they drug me into, we're just having trouble, you know. So I was glad when they moved us back into that poor Mexican area we lived in, you know, because at least living with the Mexicans, we fit it in, you know. And the Mexicans, you know, they knew we were Indians, you know, they knew we were Lakotas, and, you know, it was different kind of a feeling being around, But my dad got it. He worked a long time, and he started making good money, so he decided to move us to a better home. And the better home, of course, was in Washichu territory, you know. The street was called Blue. Hey, the name of the street was Blue Bonnet. Blue Bonnet.
God damn.
You know, remember that, Larry? They moved us on Blue Bonnet. Yeah. And Washita lived over there. It was a housing. But if you go a few blocks over, they had old beat-up houses. That's where the Mexicans live, you know?
Yeah.
And the Mexicans that lived in this on Blue Bonnet with us, they were Washita loving Mexicans, you know?
Yeah.
It was, you know,
they were a block away from Pecker Ridge.
Yeah, that's when I seen all this racism, you know, bad. When we lived in the projects, it was blacks, hardly no whites, Mexicans, and some Chinese lived there a few doors down from us. That was a wild place, you know. You know, they didn't move us to Beverly Hills. When we came from relocation, they didn't move us to Beverly Hills. They slapped us in the projects, you know. You know, that was a wild. Yeah.
Outside light, he's uptown.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where Larry taught me how to ride a bike. Yeah, you know what he did? He took me on top of this hill in the city and just pushed me on a two-wheel bike down the hill. Street lights, buses, cars.
Yeah.
Traffic, and here's a little Indian kid flying down the hill. Ah! I didn't know how to use brakes or nothing, you know. But I held on, and I steered that. Finally, I turned left, and I went around a circle, and I could only turn left after that. I could ride a bike, but I could only turn left. Didn't know how to turn right.
Man.
Yeah, they took us away from all the rivers and everything, so we went to Hollenbach Park, and that's where Larry taught me how to swim. He threw me in Hollenbach Lake and threw rocks at me, so I couldn't get to the side, so I had to swim. Well, I was a dog paddling mofo.
Made sure you went swimming, huh?
Yeah. So that's why I love my brother so much. He taught me everything, you know. Hardcore.
You're coach to success.
Yeah. I had to hide behind a duck so when I was out there, so he couldn't hit me with a rock, you know.
He didn't want to hit the duck, so he didn't want to hit you, huh?
Yeah, Larry was lots of fun when we were small, you know. He's my big brother.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we had this special bond, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Larry was my teacher of survival, you know. You know, and that's how life is. You know, we got our big brothers, uncles, dads, and things like that. Or we ain't going to know nothing. You know, we got to, you know. And I feel bad for a lot of kids that are raised by the women. Women are good mothers, and women love their kids. But it's hard to raise kids without both parents, you know. And kids that are raised with both parents, there's a lot of difference sometimes, you know. But Lakotas, you know, the thing about Lakotas, if kids don't have a father, they at least have uncles and like big brothers and other people to help them, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing about us, but you look out there in the world, you know, you see a lot of kids That's why kids don't respect elders. They don't respect, you know. It's hard to get along with them, you know. But once again, you guys' lines are open whenever you want to jump in, you know. If you're on the phone, there's Philip and Charles, you know, you guys can jump in. Just don't start no shit. I'll be out front with you, you know.
Just don't start no doo-doo.
Yeah, just don't start no doo-doo out here, you know. And don't discriminate on M&M peanuts just because you ain't got no teeth.
Yeah.
At least you can make the peanut feel good.
Oh, <man. laughs> You dumb the shit out of it.
Yeah. Have that peanut really, really tearing up
shine
from pleasure.
Yeah. Shine it up.
Make that peanut proud, you know.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm going to open up a line here, another line here, and see, you know. I don't know, Philip.
Yeah.
You know, but let's see what happens here. I opened up a 507 line here. Is it named Tracy?
Yeah, I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for listening.
Thank
and
you.
appreciate you being here. You know, and
thank
let me ask her one more question. Hey Tracy, I just was going to ask you, you know, just for our listeners, where are you calling from?
Minnesota.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Tracy. Appreciate that. And
Jesus.
Yeah. See, and you know, like there's Walking Bear and John Davis on the chat. From they're both on the East Coast. Walking Bear's in Virginia Beach. John Davis is up there in Connecticut. Or no, am I right, John? Anyway. You know, and they're my bros too. And appreciate the listeners. And like I said, today, New Year's Day, last Saturday it was Christmas Day. We had the radio show, and this is 2022. I guess after Christ is when they made the date, like. Me, I say it's 530 since the invasive species showed up, you know, and, you know, yeah, 2022, and, you know, you look at the names of the days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or stuff like that are the months. January, February, March, you know, and all these Greek names and Roman names and things like that, you know, how the American and them, how they made everybody adapt to that. When they also have the Aztec calendar. Now, I don't know nothing about the Aztec calendar. I seen pictures of it, you know, and stuff, and I couldn't figure that one out in a million years. But the Aztec calendar, what, you know, is it the same? Is it the same like over here? Like it's winter time, It's winter time right now. And like I said, it's the beginning of the new year for the average person. But for us, like right now, outside, it's like 12 below zero. It's like 12 below zero outside right now. And I don't feel like it's the beginning of a new year. I feel like we're in the middle of something. You know? And when you're a sun dancer or Lakota, or, you know, and most other tribes, our new year starts right after we sun dance or stuff like that. That's when I feel like the year started, because I just got done purifying myself for the last year, you know, and that's when my new year starts. That's when our new year starts. When we have sundance season on the res all summer, Humblecha season, when people start going on Humblecha all of this, and then through sundance. And once the sundance is finished, that's when the year begins for all of us. We say, wow, you know, we're moving into this new, fresh year. So when you're like that, it's hard for you to look at January 1st as a, you know, as something new. It's like in the middle of something, you know, like you're in the middle of a doo-doo. You know, you're in the middle of something, you know. But it's all right, because we adapted to it. So, of course, everybody's out there saying Happy New Year, and I was trying to think. I always have brain locks on the Lakota word for that. What's the proper Lakota word for that, remember?
Which one?
For the new year, you are happy. When you say happy new year, it's like Yuskia. Yeah, there it is. And so to all the people out there, you know, wish you well and everything, and our listeners around the world, you know, like people that tune in over there, even in the South Pacific, over there by New Zealand, New Caledonia, Maria Magda, I don't forget her name, but she always tunes into us from over there, and supports Leonard Peltier, and all the Leonard Peltier supporters who give support to not just Leonard Peltier, but our people in general, you know, to that they support the Native people around the world, people that tune in, that call into this radio show from Russia, from even Iran, you know, called us from Iran before. I appreciate that. And like there's a girl down in Venezuela named, she goes by Wombly too. And she tunes in, you know, down in Venezuela. And they have the indigenous people down that way, all down south, all the way to the tip and all the way up north. You know, these are our continents. And people tune in to us, you know. I mean, we're not no American 100,000 watt radio station. Of course, they can call us a podcast or whatever they want. But the reason why I appreciate it even more better than they have some people trying to do Zoom meetings, you know, and stuff like that. But
yeah,
this program here is listened all over the world, and it's even translated in different languages. I seen some of the links. I should get some of the links. They translate what we're saying tonight in other language, and it goes, and people listen to it in other countries. I seen that. I didn't even know it. You know, I could get Nauezi and say, oh, they're stealing our radio show, but I'm proud that they bootleg our radio show and put it in other places. You know what I mean? Because it's our words. And even you, Vimber, you're becoming a star. Yeah, people are saying, people said, how old is Vimber? You know, some women, you know. I really like his voice. So I lied, oh, he's 27 years old.
And there you go. Thank you, my brother.
Yeah, he's 27 years old. He's got illustrious growth of hair, a brilliant smile, fair complexion. You know, I really shine you up, you know.
There you go. Heck yeah.
And he can smash a peanut to death. Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna open up. Hey, I'm gonna turn my bro on, John Davis. He's here. Let me see. Hey, John, you there?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. Hey, happy New Year to all you guys.
Well, thank you, John. And
I listen occasionally on Saturday nights, and I just lay here before I go to bed, you know, and just smile at you guys talking all night.
Yeah, I appreciate that because, you know, I always appreciate you, John, and, you know, always supporting us from, you know, and putting up with us because I know, like, you're not La Costa and all this. Although you came and visited our res, I appreciate that, you know. And
I think I should be the token Washishu. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I should call in every once in a while, and I'll be the token.
Yeah, wow.
But
when I think of you, John, I don't think of you in any kind of negative way, because
sure, I understand. I understand everything.
Because I like
to hear the other side. And it's definitely, you know, I get the other side of the story because you guys just talk the way you want to talk, and I like that. I like that because I know where you're coming from. I'm not there, but I know where you're coming from, you know. And I do. I agree with you guys, you know.
I really appreciate that because, like, you even came down to – you've been on our res, you know. And I remember when you showed up to my son's wake, that meant a lot to me, you know. So when I see that, and I'm sure Vimber and you know, other Lakotas that listen or that are on this show, we know there's people that are human, people that are good people. And we appreciate that. We don't, you know, our language and our word, and like you heard us talking and remember describing, you know, what Washichu means. It doesn't really mean a person of color. And it's just how our people, when we first see people meet somebody or something. Matter of fact, a lot of times that's how they got their names, you know, because there was something that occurred when they were born, you know, something, you know, spiritual or stuff like that. And one time a German asked, how do you say German in, and it was a woman, she said, how do you say German in Lakota? And we were sitting in the sweat lodge when she said, asked this question. And it was in between when the tarps were up, in between around. And it said, how do you say German Lakota? It said, Iyashicha. Oh, how do you say that again? Iyashicha, you know, told her. Oh, yeah. So she felt kind of proud. And then she said, what does that mean? And he said, bad talkers. And, man, she got her feelings hurt. She got up and flew out of that sweat lodge, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we were there. We were there and, you know, and had to explain. It took a couple weeks for her to realize it wasn't a negative thing we're talking about. Because our people, we describe people as they are when we first meet them, right? And so apparently when Lakota first met a German, when they talk, they don't talk English, they talk German. And when they talk German, there's words they say like they say nicht or Achtung. They use that little bit of a guttural sound, Achtung, nicht, you know, tu das nicht, don't do that, you know, nicht.
Yep.
They use a little bit of a guttural there. So our people thought they were just trying to talk Lakota, but we're bad talkers, you know, or something like that. Is that what happened, Vimber? Why we call him Iyashicha?
He stepped up for a minute.
Oh, he's doing the doo-doo, I'm sorry, when he comes back. Just put it out public, poor guy. We, you know, we ain't got nothing to hide.
That's why I like listening to this show.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's and you bring up a good point, John. A lot of people that listen to us is because we speak in terms that people understand. We ain't on this program trying to sound all intellectual, all intelligent, all educated, you know, and be using words like situation and all that. We just talk like ourselves, you know.
And, I want to go do this.
Yeah. He's still dragging toilet paper behind him, but he's back, you know. hey, Bimber. I was telling them about why we call, you know, like how we say, because John Davis is on the line. John, where you live at again?
I live half a week in Massachusetts and the other half in New Hampshire.
Oh, New Hampshire is Massachusetts.
Half a week I'm in Massachusetts and the other half I'm in New Hampshire.
Oh, okay. So Vimber, I was talking about one time when I was in the Nipi and a German girl asked, how do you say German in Lakota? And the medicine man told her, Iyashicha, you know?
Yeah.
And then when she asked what it meant, he said, bad talkers. And her, she got up and flew out the sweat crying, you know, because she didn't even want to wait to understand what that meant.
Yes.
You know, the meaning
yes.
of what that meant,
yes.
you know?
Yeah.
Yep. Because when we describe something in English, how do you describe something in English? Because English isn't our language. So when we
yeah.
turn something into English, it don't sound right.
It's
bad talkers. Yeah.
It loses meaning when you try to interpret it. It twists all up.
Just have to describe it.
You know, that's like we were talking about. What does New Year mean? You know, and
right.
I was going to say Omokatecha. You know, that the interpretation of that is pretty deep. That Omokatecha compared to New Year. You know, there's a big meaning
yeah.
behind that Omokatecha. You know. You know,
New Year. See, John Tahashi, John's on the line, and he's from New Hampshire and Massachusetts over there, and he said he should be our token Washichu. But, you know, and just like my bro over here, Walking Bear, his David, you know, he says I'm your Hasapa brother, you know.
Yeah,
He understands what Hasapa means, but I hear people feel like when we say Hasapa, that's racist. When Hasapa just means black skin, you know, black
it's
or
descriptive,
you know.
Our language is
not racist.
Yeah, it's not racist. There's no racism or cuss words in our language. There's none of that. It doesn't exist. There's meaning, a lot of meaning behind the words. And if you understand the language and you talk it, when those words are used, it's like a movie going by. There's a picture being painted for you as you're speaking. So in your mind has a it's like a motion picture going in front of you.
Yeah.
And everybody that's speaking Lakota, that's sitting there, has the same picture as you do, a same movie as you do. There's no difference.
Wow.
Washichu, there's a lot of difference. Like one word, they could take it and use it and misplace it and say, oh, it means this. There's too many meanings in this bastard English. You know, that's why they get by. That's why they talk so good, these lawyers and stuff. They know how to bullshit pretty good, you know.
Yeah, they do.
And the Lakota language, you can't do that. It's an honest language.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. And you know, the thing that I wanted to mention was, you know, in English, that's why they have bullies. Because when you're a bully, you can say, ah, you're ugly, you're fat, you're this. You can call people names. But in our language, we don't have words like that, ugly and all that.
Nope.
You're judged by your heart. You know, we don't look at, when we meet you, we don't look at your face. We see what kind of person you are when we communicate. Are you a good person? You have a good heart?
Nope.
And we're, first of all, we give you the chance to be trusted. We give you the chance to be trusted first. You know, when I meet an Indian, when I meet another Indian and he tells me he's Indian, I don't say, show me your card, prove to me you're Indian. And I don't do that. If you tell me you're Indian or Native, I automatically accept it. You know, all right on, we'll stay. You know, it's a good thing. You know, and I'm not going to ask you to prove what you are. I ain't going to ask you for your enrollment number, your ID card, you know, automatically accept it. When you start becoming a bad person, when your true colors come out, then I start changing, you know, so our kids can't, they don't, if they speak just Lakota, there's no way to bully another kid. You can't say, hey, you're ugly, or you're this and that and that. But in English language, you can make fun of people. Oh, you're ugly, you know? And, you know, it's like these kids were at the zoo, and there was a monkey there, and all these kids were looking at this monkey, and they were saying, ah, he's ugly, look, he's ugly. They were making fun of the monkey, and some little Indian girl said, he's cute.
He's cute, you know. Lakota, you know, the Indian mind works differently than the Washita, you know. And that's, it's been proven time and time again that, you know, we have I don't know what it is about Lakota or the native people. They have a totally different perspective on things. Washita, right away when they see something, they see dollar signs. They see how they're gonna make something, you know, for themselves. Lakotas or Indian people ain't like that. They see the beauty in that person, see? And that's what you're talking about. Conscientious. We don't, you know, you could, a guy comes up to you and says he's native, you take him for that, see? And he's the one that's going to prove otherwise if it's not the truth, you know. A lot of these guys end up saying, oh, I'm native at heart, you know. And that was the thing with that, whatever the hell she was. Remember, what's her name? They called her Pocahontas or whatever her name was.
Yeah, Pocahontas.
They should have accepted that woman and just put Indian in her mind and let her go at that. You know what I mean? Instead, they condemned her.
Yep.
That Washita came out and allowed these guys that play politics. That goes to show you how far these Indians came, how hateful they are. You know, in our way, it was never like that. Growing up, if you remember, the boys played separate from the girls too. You know.
Yep.
So that was something that we did. See, so we respected. We grew up respecting women because that's what we was taught. See. Nowadays, this so-called quiet shit, look at how, you know, there's all these perverts running around now, you know? Even women. Even, look at this one, they just convicted, see? You know, messing around with 13-foot grooming little girls to be prostitutes, you know? And that's the Washita logic, money-making, see?
And you see how they hey, Tahashi, you see how they changed our... They change. They start using the gay people, or you know, they start trying to use our like weak to, and they're all trying to say they're two spirit, you know, and that's a bunch of baloney right there, because our weak to, our people that were raised, that were born this way, they didn't just get flip flopped in prison. They just didn't get drunk one night and decided they want to flip over and then start saying they're two-spirit. You know, I don't agree with all of that gay stuff that they are trying to, you know, and now they got them where one of the states had a transsexual, a winner in a beauty contest. And then they're starting to fight over which bathroom they can use. You know, you know, that's how bad they're getting. You know, when culture, you're this, or, you know, you were born how you were born. Yeah. And when you're born something, and our weakness, people that because they're weakness, they get up at midnight, want to run down, look for some sex with another man. You know, our winktas were just people that the men might have had more feminine side, or the women might have had more masculine side. And the winktas, you know, we were raised with them. They weren't people that are dangerous. We still trusted them to babysit, you know, watch kids, play with. They were just kind of, the men were feminine, we kind of laugh or might, you know, but we didn't discriminate on them because they were pure in their way. They were pure. They were born this way. And they were Wakan. They were sacred. But this American and other countries are trying to deal with this now because America's imposing all this wicked stuff on their other countries. And if the other countries don't adhere to it, they say, look it, you're violating human rights. You're against gays. You're against this. You're against that. You know, it ain't that they're against a week there. They're against the evilness that it turned to, that it changed
to. The perversion that created.
Perversion.
You know, that's the perversion that is created using that, see? And that's where this two-spirit, all this other stuff comes in. You know, is that, you know, Leonard Krodok said it the best. You know, he said long ago, he said not too long ago, he said they were sacred. He said they were sacred amongst our people. He said today, he said they crawl up the wrong butthole. You know, that's how he put it. and this was pertaining to, like, they were trying to get this same-sex marriage issue straightened out on our reservation. That's how he told the people, the delegation that came. See? And
you said,
I don't know whatever became of that law, but.
But here's the other thing, Vimber. The other thing is our life is between us and Wakan Tonka.
Yeah.
We have private, we are who we are. When I see you, you're a man. When we see each other, we know who each other are. You know?
Yeah.
We don't have... it's a private, our lives are private. We don't need to be going out and say, I'm gay. Oh, mess on me, I'm gay. You're discriminating. That's your private thing. You know, that's your private life, how you want to be. Don't impose it on me. And don't try and make my daughter gay. And don't try to make my son gay because that's because you are.
Yeah.
And don't come over and say, hey, you ought to try it. It feels pretty good, you know? You know, don't be coming around like that. But that's what they're doing now. And
that's
I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't like that part. You know what I mean? To me, natural things are natural. Even amongst animals or whatever, you know? Natural, you're born this way or that way. But it turned just like Toshi said with his big word, perversion. You know, that's a good way to describe it. That's another big word we learned how to use on this show, perversion, you know. We learned some words here on the show, English words. And that's a good point there because there's a big difference in perversion and what is sacred, you know? And when somebody is born this way, they live that way and they don't impose that way on others, you know? That's their private life. What you want to do or how you feel and there's nothing to be guilty about, you know? Our winktas were born that way. They handle it pretty good, and they get along with the rest of us. They hang out. They can be around us. There's no shame there, and there's trust. You know, we let them babysit our kids or come hang out. But nowadays, these ones here, see, you don't want them around your kids. You don't want them over here, you know, hey, keep that, because it turned to an evil thing. And that's what all this gay rights and all that, I see that more as an evil thing than a good thing. It ain't a bunch of true people born this way. It's people that turned this way because maybe they couldn't find the love. They couldn't find the love, or they decided, oh, I'm going to try this out because I'm drunk. Or, I got high. I got high, so I ain't got a woman tonight, so let me jump on Billy over here, you know?
I don't think
the topic people don't like to discuss it because it's too I got a sister like that, you're making fun of her, all right, my brother's this way. Well, you know what, I got friends and family that have that in their family too. Yeah, and but they were born that way.
Yep.
They were born that way. And when they're born that way, it's a different kind of person, a different kind of attitude, a different kind of character, and there's nothing wrong with it. But when these ones that got flip-flopped or whatever you want to call it, went out and got drunk one night, or started running around with these people and letting them talk you into trying it out, you know, that ain't right. And that's what I don't like. When we start accepting that kind of pedophile, perverted and stuff into our world, then it's destructive to our children and to our future. You know, and I started seeing that on our Indian reservations now. They impose this on our people. Just like, that's why you see our people running around with dyeing their hair pink and blue and blonde, you know, so they can fit in with, they went to the city and fit in, or they come back and they weren't gay when they went to town, but they came back from town, now they're gay. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm talking about. Anyway, John, do you have anything else you want to comment?
It's over.
Oh, yeah. No, not really. I just want to say that I do enjoy Saturday nights. You know, before I turn into bed, I put the computer on and I listen to the show, and I do enjoy it. And I enjoy it because you guys talk from the heart. You just say what you want to say, and I like that. You know, I like that.
Well, thank you very much, John, and it's an honor that you tune in and support us like you've been doing all this time. And just hang in there with us, you know. We appreciate you and everything. And let me see, Philip, you've been quiet. You got anything to say?
I've just been listening.
We're running out of time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've just been listening and enjoying the show and the banter back and forth and the laughter. It's been a really good show.
Yeah, even though Vimber took a doo-doo, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we just like to joke and play with each other. Hey, let me ask Tracy. Tracy was just listening, but let me ask her if she has any comments before she goes, before we go off.
No, this was wonderful. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for tuning in. Appreciate that. And that was Tracy from Minnesota. Charles, you got any quick comments or anything?
Yeah, it's always good to remember our people, and however they may think about this new year, you know, to remember them in a good way, and, you know, that's all I can think of. Thank you.
Yep, well, appreciate that, and that's right, you know, thinking of our people, you know, like I said, right now it's 12 below zero outside, you know, And yes. not everybody's warm and cozy, and some of them are going to sleep hungry. It's sad to say, but there's people out there still drunk, you know. And I wish it wasn't like that. But 530 years ago, there wasn't a drunk Indian on earth. So it's good to keep that in mind. We weren't always drunk, and hopefully we can break that habit, you know, because alcohol is the worst drug of our people, you know. Alcohol destroyed our people, and that was how the Washichu conquered our, you know, our land. You know, that was one of the big weapons that they used to even get us, probably even get our people drunk to sign treaties and stuff, you know. We don't know. We weren't there. But when you wonder how a small group of people, when I say small group, I'm saying a shipload of people, can show up and invade this whole country in a matter of time, then something was really wrong. And one thing, our people, it proves that we weren't savages. It proves that we were more humble and generous than the credit they give us. Because if we weren't, they would have all been in the pot. All of those Plymouth Rock people or whatever, Mayflower people, you know, if we were savages like they said, they would have been Thanksgiving dinner, you know.
Yep.
You know, Columbus and all them. But it proves that the humble character that we had, the generous character we had, the caring we had, the sympathy we had for humanity, our people on this country before they came, it shows. And how quick they invaded over us, the invasive species, how quick they did it proves that we weren't savages like they said, because they wouldn't have been able to survive. And we were like that, you know. We helped them out all the way. And with that, I'm going to let Bimber have the last word and also take us out in prayer. Go ahead, Bimber.
I'd like to thank everybody for listening in. It was a good show. Watch out, King Stelona, Kashi.
How? We thank everybody for tuning in, and next Saturday we'll be back, and thank you all for tuning in, everybody out there, and my bro out there, Matomani, Mahasapa bro, and thank you John Davis and everybody for tuning in with us.
Train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother's bag for me. She died last week outside of Fargo, victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. No, no more pain and no more sorrow. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles to go home. And through the never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Yeah, hey, 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 hey. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, oh, oh. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Though they never let me know you, still, you mean so much to me. Now, I wish that I could show you all the love you're never gonna see. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Yes, you can turn the light on if you want to. Yeah, you might spill something. What did I do? I don't think I really did anything. I had something earlier. Sure.